When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your host, Renee Hansen.
Hello, I am Renee Hansen. This is our first podcast for the rebranding of the Undead Walking Podcast. And my special guest is Carrie Genzel, who you will know from many of her roles, especially Clark on The Walking Dead. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, thank you for having me. This Absolutely. Is exciting. This yes. is like the inaugural like a podcast. We're gonna kick it off with a bang.
That's right. That is right. So how have you been?
I've been great. Good. I've been great. Yeah. Cool. I'm excited about the camp coming up, which came so quickly.
Yes.
How does time go by so fast?
I don't know.
It's exciting. It's the camp, and then it's like Halloween. So yes. it's like such a juicy month.
Double fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Halloween's my favorite. Yeah.
yeah. Me too. I love the fall and I love Halloween. And, you know, I live in Atlanta and people really get into it here. And I didn't like not being from the South, I didn't know how people would really get into it. I moved here from Los Angeles and people in LA really get into it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if the South was going to really be a big Halloween, you know, celebratory place, but it's big here. It's really big. It's exciting.
Yeah. We have a pretty big display in our yard this year too.
You do?
We just moved here too. So I wasn't sure how it would be either, because we've just lived here since April. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't realize you were that new. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I've got some pumpkins out. I've got my skeleton unicorn with the glowing red eyes and skeleton monkey and all that in the front yard.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. You gotta have some fun.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's awesome. Well, good. Well, you know, we'll start off, I think we'll just start off talking about Clark and The Walking Dead and what, you know, just if you can share a little fun or what, you know, anything you'd like to share about your time on the show.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, coming on at the beginning of the season was just so incredibly exciting because I'm a fan of the show. I've been watching since the beginning, and it's always, as an actor, it's always really, really fun to get on a set on a show that you watch, right? To be able to step into that world. But there was so much mystery at that point about the Commonwealth and, you know, who Clark was and what was going on. And so it was really fun. We kept trying to get more information from like wardrobe or from hair makeup. And, you know, they're pretty tight-lipped over there.
Yeah.
some information. And of course, like when we shot that too, we, because of COVID, we were very much in these little pods. So if you weren't directly working with somebody, you didn't see them at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so I didn't even see any zombies while I was there, much to my chagrin. I was like, really? That's not cool. This is weird. And it was so weird to come on and, you know, Clark had a manicure and a clean suit. And I was like, this is not what I thought time on The Walking Dead would be like. Right? and it was so, because then it was so new, like even everyone's like, oh my God, you got to have your nails done. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, the girls, of course, like we never get to have our nails done. So it was just very funny and nice, you know, hair and the whole thing. But you know, it was a little intimidating too, because of that, especially that first interrogation scene, it was really long, you know, even with the script, it was really long. And, you know, I had a lot to do because we shot that kind of round robin. Like I felt like I was speed dating, right? So like we'd be sitting there and like, you know, you'd have, you know, one person sit down and you'd rattle through the questions. And then the next person would sit down and you would rattle through the questions. And then the next person, and it was just really crazy, like to keep all of that in my head like, and to be able to like rapid fire. But, you know, we had so much fun. We laughed so much. And, you know, my first day on set was Michael Shaw's first day on set, oh, which yeah. was kind of cool. So I was like, hey, you too. So I didn't feel like it was, I was like the only one. But it was really, it was so much fun to be a part of it. And it was so much fun to get to grill these characters that I love.
Yeah. Right?
It was so fun. Like when I got the script, I was just like giddy because I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to say this. Oh, I can't wait to say that. You know, when I auditioned for the show, again, it was during COVID. So everything was remote, right? Mm-hmm. So I recorded it and then sent it in. So I didn't meet anybody. And then I happened to be working on another show. And I got a call saying, you got it. And they want to see you on this day for wardrobe. And I was in quarantine for this other production. So I was like, I can't get out for wardrobe fitting. Can I just send you my sizes? but originally they were going to have Clark in the Commonwealth soldier gear. Oh.
Yeah.
And so they have to make those, mm-hmm. right? And so they're like, well, it's not really something you can just send sizes in for. We have to measure and whatever. And there was like this conflict and it looked like I might not be able to do it. And I was really, really lucky that I was working for Tyler Perry. And my agent actually wrote him a letter and said that I had booked The Walking Dead and that I needed to change the schedule so that I could get out in time and get to my wardrobe fitting. And he accommodated that.
Oh, that's great.
Really incredible. Cause he didn't have to.
Yes.
And he, you know, he shoots over 100 pages a day. So they have a pretty tight schedule over there, but it was just really great that he did that. And then I get to wardrobe and I look and there's all these suits and I'm like, wait a minute. Clark, I'm playing Clark. I'm supposed to be in the gear.
Armor, yeah.
Armor. And which I, as a Star Wars fan, I was really down for, right? I was like, all right, it's not quite Star Wars, but it feels very Stormtrooper-esque. And they're like, yeah, no, they changed their mind. They're going to have you in a suit. And I was like,
aw.
Yeah. Except they were like, trust me, you're way better off in the suit because those are not comfortable, right? As you know, Oscar, I'm sure, can attest, and Michael Shaw.
Yeah,
they're not comfortable, so you're better off in the suit. So we went with the suit.
Yes, I heard. I just watched an interview with on like Entertainment Weekly or something, and they asked Michael James Shaw and Norman Reedus were both talking about how uncomfortable those were, and Michael James Shaw kind of like made a joke at Norman. He goes, yeah, I always noticed you were able to get parts of yours off when the rest of us had to keep ours on.
But I noticed that on the show too, that he kind of half have it on.
What, yeah, that's like, really? What I think he was referring to. Like, how does he never have to wear the whole thing like everybody else? I guess because he's Norman Reedus. So,
but
you know.
Norman also gets to like drop F-bombs too. Yes, so,
yes. So I guess
I remember watching and I was like, wait, we can do that? I could have said that? Like, no, I can't.
Yeah. But yes, I think Negan's gotten one and Norman, or you know, Daryl both have gotten one in the first two episodes. So
I know. I didn't even know that you could say that on AMC.
Yeah, there. Well, I think there's I thought there was like a two word per season minimum or per section of episodes or something. So I'm like, did they just use their two?
Yeah, they just blew that right out.
Yeah, or they're, I don't know, or something has changed in the meantime.
Right.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Right, because there may be some great opportunity leading up to the finale to drop some more.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping that we see some action that's worthy of
that. You shouldn't blow that out at the beginning, right? Yeah. You want to wait until it really is one of those moments.
Yeah, maybe they gave them a little leeway with the last episodes. I don't know.
Right, they're like, what are they going to do, fire us?
Exactly. Well, some of of them, though. They are going on.
That's true.
So I guess we'll see. So that, and speaking of Negan, that was one question I was going to ask you. I was wondering, so we have all talked about how cool it would have been for Clark to do his into his, you know, his interview.
So let me tell you about that. I think that they had planned on doing that because I had gotten a call about possibly being in episode 17. And when I watched the episode, my heart sank because I saw Negan sitting in the interrogation room and there were two chairs across from him that were pulled out. Like it looked like two people had just left. And then Mercer came in and my heart sank because I went, I bet you that's what they were going to do. They were going to, which it would have been, that was like my dream interrogation.
That would have been so much fun. We've talked about
even it. Even if it was just a couple of exchanges, I feel like the fans would have loved that. Oh, and yeah. I would have loved it. But, you know, I understand too, like they're cramming in so much. There's so many characters right still alive right and they have so much story to tell in such a short period of time that I'm sure like on paper they were like, oh, this would be really funny, and then they were like, we don't have time to
we can't,
but I was like, really, you know, even if it was a moment where we didn't say anything and we were just staring each other down. So I think that that's probably what they had in mind.
Yep.
And then probably because of either, usually with any production, it's time or budget.
Yeah.
Right. That it didn't happen. And it just like, my heart sank because I was watching the episode and I was like, when I saw him sitting there, I'm like, that's absolutely what they were going to do.
Oh, that would have been incredible.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad that we didn't get it, but you know.
I feel like Clark was kind of present with the chair being pulled out a little. Yes. I feel like, you know, her presence was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen many comments about people wanting to, like, why didn't we get to see Negan's, you know, interview and things? Because it just, you know, anticipating his reactions, what he would have answered, how he would have answered those questions, and just his snarky comments that would have.
Right. What do you use to wipe?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what would come out of his mouth.
I know it.
Right?
It would have been incredible, but too bad.
In my mind, it happened.
Yeah, okay, good.
It was amazing.
Yes, good. I think all of us, too, we're all imagining what it would have been like. So, but yeah.
I was like, you can't just, you needed to have kind of like extra moments that they didn't have time for, where they were online or something, or AMC+.
but
anyway, that was a missed moment. I thought I was like, oh, it got me. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Well, anyway, we were, you know, as fans, we were glad that Clark was there, and it, you know, that sequence gets brought up all the time because people still can't believe the questions that were asked. They, you know, and just how things were answered, and you know, just how you were able to keep yourself composed through the whole thing, because I'm sure
you know, the thing is that, you know, we shot that scene over like 2 days.
Sure.
Like, and just because, you know, again, there's, you know, all of the camera angles and all the different cast members and all of the moments of, you know, eyes looking at each other and, you know, and all of that. So it really was quite intricate, that scene. And, you know, we did laugh a lot, but there was also, you know, it was also really fun for me, like when somebody would sit down, that I would just sit and stare at them and not say anything, right? To make them really uncomfortable. And like sometimes, you know, I would get the direction of like, don't say anything, like don't ask the question, just stare at them to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'd be like staring at me, and like we'd be just staring back and forth, like, you know, I think my favorite, you know, stare down had to have been Eleanor. You know, we just have that great, like, women, right?
Yes, I love the parts with her in it, because she was like just telling you right back what this
and then like whatever. Handed me my ass, right? Like I was like, damn. I was also kind of hoping there would be a moment later on between the two women, you know, once she was in and, mm-hmm. you know, it was, you know, the lawyer yeah. and, you know, in her place, right? It would yeah. have been fun to have a little exchange. But again, like, there's just so mm-hmm. much story that they have to tell in such yeah. a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I still, like, there in the back of my mind, I always feel like, why would they have given this character the last name of Clark? Right? Which is a very prominent and important, yeah. you know, last name on Fear. So I'm like, was there supposed to be a connection, or is there a connection, or, you know, that's always intrigued me. And I've had some fans reach out to me and ask me about that. I'm like, yeah. I don't know anything for sure, but it did, as a fan, like, I was like, huh.
Yeah, there's going to be a connection. We're going to say there's a connection.
Right? I was like, why would they have chosen that name of all last names, right? Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I don't have any intel on that.
Well, you can make it up, I guess. You know, a lot of times actors do that, right? Don't you guys, like, kind of build a backstory for your character?
Sure. So yeah, I feel like I'm definitely,
if AMC is
like, do I could be a Clark. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, and I'd also like to touch on your, if people don't know, you have your website, your State of Slay.
Yes.
And so if you can kind of, you know, give us some background into how that was formed and kind of inform people what it's about. And I think it would just be a very, you know, interesting for everyone to hear about this from you, instead of just reading what's, you know, already printed on the website.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, State of Slay is a blog that I started, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago now. And I was really encouraged, by so many people to start this blog. I've been a big advocate of mental health. It's something that is important to me. It's something that I've struggled with in the past. It's and something that I'm very active with. I'm an advisory board member for a nonprofit called Attitudes in Reverse that they go into schools and bring education around mental health and suicide prevention. So, you know, that's one way that I give back. But, you know, State of Slay was really a way for me to talk about my journey and things that I have struggled with or still struggle with, and what I do to work on those things. And it was a way for me to really just kind of have a voice outside of myself as an actor and just kind of speak freely about my journey and struggles. And it was a little nerve-wracking at first to hit publish, because I'd never talked about anything like that in, you know, the press or in interviews or anything. It was always like, everything was great and I had a good time on set and I got some funny stories and thank you.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, I really worked a lot with people one-on-one in my community and groups of people, and spoke mm-hmm. a lot on mental health and addiction and, you know, and suicide prevention, et cetera. So people kept saying to me, like, you should have a blog, or you should write a book, or you should do this. So I was like, okay, I've never really written before, except in a journal. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to write it like that. I'm going to write it the way that I talk, right? And I'm not going to worry about, is it perfect, or is it this or that? It's just, I want it to sound like my voice. And hopefully, you know, it helps people. Mm-hmm. And the response that I've gotten over the years is just really has been so incredible. And, you know, people have really reached out to me that are going through things or just relate to what I'm saying. And that just really means so much to me. And, mm-hmm. and it reminds me, there are the times that when I've been going through a tough time, that just that interaction reminds me of how connected we all are, and that it's not just me. I'm not alone. Even though I know that you're in a difficult time, you know, it's like our minds want to trick us and say, like, you're the only one, or you messed up, or this is your fault. And it just helps so much for people to go, oh yeah, me too. I did that, or I'm going through that, or I feel that way. And I really just want people to know they're not alone. I want people to feel that, you know, of it's not you, it's not just you, you know, life is tough. And at times we all feel the way that you're feeling right now. And there is help, right? And you know, and you're important and you matter, because we all matter.
Yeah.
We all matter. And I think that's such an important message. I really made a conscious effort even before I launched State of Slay to put out positive content on social media, just because there's so much negativity.
Yeah.
And those negative voices are so loud, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just was like, you know what? I'm gonna be the counter. I'm gonna counter that with some positivity, because I need to see that every day, and it's good for my heart to put that out there. Mm-hmm. And so I continue to do that. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, and I'm not as active on State of Slay as I was. My life has gotten a lot bigger since I launched it. I got married and I moved and all, there's a lot going on. But I do still check in. And in fact, I just, got this lovely message from somebody about, integrating something that was written, that they wrote about, the opioid crisis and suicide. And so I'm going to write something in regards to that, and in you know, include the blog that they wrote. So, you know, I think that there's over 500 original blogs on State of Slay that I've written. So there's a lot of content.
There's
there.
Plenty. Yeah, plenty.
There's to plenty to read.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's gosh, it really has. In many ways, you know, my goal was to reach out to other people and really kind of let my light shine. But in so many ways, I've received so much back that I hadn't even really anticipated. Just the encouragement and wonderful comments and connection with people all over the world. There's people that read it all over the world. Like when I go into the analytics, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like India and like Dubai. And like, it's, you know, it's crazy to me that people
wonderful, yeah.
find it. So yeah, I'll keep it up there and keep it going. And I know people are like, you should write a book. And I'm like, I just the time to find all the time in the day to make it happen. But maybe one day, there's still a lot of story to tell.
you could intersperse it with some of your blog posts maybe, or something, you know, where you're writing a book, but then put in some of those blog ones, you know, so it's not like writing this huge thing. You've already got some of the content prepared maybe. So that might be a nice.
Well, and it's interesting for me to look back on some of those posts too, because to see where I am today with that.
Sure.
You know, things may have changed a lot. You know, it's like as life goes on, your perspective changes, you have more experiences, you know. You know, when I launched State of Slay, I was single and I was living in Vancouver and my life was very different. Today I'm married and you know, which brings on a whole other set of of challenges, right? It's like, oh, I'm a part of a team now. I gotta like not just about what I want.
Yeah.
And it is challenging because like I find too, you know, relationships are that thing that like is just so full of triggers, right? Yeah. It's like, woo, okay, got some more work to do there. and it is a challenge, but it's great at the same time. It's wonderful. And had I not done all of that work, you know, over those years, like I wouldn't have even been in a place to be in a long-term relationship like this. So, you know, I just say all of those challenges and things that we walk through get us to the next place that we're supposed to be. And then that keeps building and building and building. And one day we stand where we are and we look back and go, I can't believe that I'm here. And it's because we did all of those other steps to get mm-hmm. there. I was just having this conversation the other day with a friend. I said, you know, don't worry so much about how you're going to get somewhere. Just do what's in front of you and do the next right thing and trust that there's a path and that you're being guided to where you need to be and be open to that guidance, mm-hmm. you know, because those signs are everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're open to them, right? Yeah. And a lot of us at times can like live our lives like this, right? I don't want to know. I don't want to see. This is what I want to do. And this is what I want to happen. But when we do that, we get ourselves into trouble sometimes because we're on a path that we're not supposed to be on, mm-hmm. right? Or there's a better one that we're supposed to be on. And we miss that turnoff because we were so busy looking at the path we wanted to be on or
yeah. thought
to be on. And we know very little. Like we only know what we know, right? So yeah, I think, you know, early on in my journey, I was very much encouraged to keep saying yes to new things. And that led to so many things that I never would have foreseen for myself or even thought I was capable of, right? I just kept saying yes. Okay, this is happening for a reason. Just keep saying yes. And that includes launching State of Slay because I'd never written before. I'd never, you know, and I made this commitment to write these blogs and it was really wonderful. And like I said, there were many times that it really saved me mm-hmm. Writing those because I needed to see that what I was, you know, writing. I needed to hear those words. I needed to think those things and take my own advice.
Yes. That's always hard.
Right. Last night I was on this great call with a bunch of women and I was saying how, you know, so many times we apologize when we need help, right? People will call or reach out and say, I'm really sorry to bother you, but, right? And I'm always saying, you're not bothering me, right? There's a reason why this call or this exchange is happening. And it's bigger than all of us. Mm-hmm. Like you may not know, you don't know what I'm going through today or what's happening for me. And by you reaching out, you actually may be helping me, not bothering me.
Exactly. Right?
So you don't know the reason why anything, you know, is happening. Just trust it. If you feel compelled to reach out to somebody, reach out to them because there may be a reason beyond what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all help each other. We all go through this together. And I have an incredible community of women, especially in my life, that walk through things together. You know, mm-hmm. I was just able to be there for a friend who lost her sister. And although it was tough, it had just happened. So everything was very raw and very new and it just happened. And we needed to go into her place and mm-hmm. get the CAD and, you know, do those things. So there was a lot of emotion. It was very, yeah. you know, and that can be difficult, but I was like, I'm so glad that I could be here. And I'm so honored that you would trust me with being in your space during this really vulnerable time. Mm-hmm. That's what we get to do,
yeah.
you know, and that's to stand next to her and hold her hand and say, let's go do this, is such an incredible gift. Mm-hmm. You know, to
yeah.
get somebody to say, you don't have to do this alone. And even through all the tears, we managed to laugh and talk about some memories of her sister or, you know, even, you know, when we were in her place, she'll be like, oh, that's so her. That's so funny that she left that out or, you know, what have you. And, you know, I said, I feel her here. I feel the energy of her here and that's it. You know, it's just really finding those moments, those real moments between mm-hmm. a friend, a family member, a loved one. That's what life's all about, right? It's not about all the stuff and all the silly things that we can get caught up in. And, it's about those real, real moments and being able to be there for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That was good.
You're welcome. go ahead.
No, oh, no, I was going to say, so then that kind of segues into what you do at the camp then. So the camp will be held in Peachtree City. It's October 28th through the 30th, and you will be there again. And
yes.
Tell us a little about your little a special event that you do.
Yeah, we did. This was something that Oscar and I came up with because we had a really great conversation on the phone prior to the May event. And he's like, oh gosh, it'd be really cool if you could bring a talk like that to the camp. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm like, what could we call it? And he's like, talk real shit, right? And I was like, yeah, right? So we did it. We did it in May. It sold out and it was so incredible. We have a private suite at the Hilton, and so we have our own space and there's pizza and soft drinks and, like, you know, food, and we just get to be ourselves and talk about anything that we want to talk about. And, you know, I really got an opportunity to sit in and share my story and, really connect with the people in the room. And, you know, like I was saying, you just never know what's going to come out in that moment, right? When we're open and vulnerable and honest, you know, things happen. People go, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was going to say that, you know, but I was like, well, you needed to say that, you know, and this is a safe place to say that. So there were a lot of tears and a lot of laughter, and we all just really bonded like so much in that time that we were together. And I got comments for weeks and weeks and weeks afterwards from people that were there, and even from people that didn't go would reach out to me and like, a friend of mine went to this and said it was amazing. And like, then we get into these conversations. And so there are still a handful of tickets left for this one. So if you don't have your tickets, get your tickets. Because it really is incredible. It's really fun. It's really, it's healing. It's loving. It's supportive. It's kind of like State of Slay come to life.
Yeah.
It really is.
I have several friends who attended, and they were just so complimentary about it. And just so, you know, they were encouraging. We have a group chat with, you know, some of the girls who attended and some that hadn't, and they were asking questions. They're like, yes, do it. You know, they were saying hands down, if you have the opportunity to get to this event at the camp, because they said it was just wonderful.
Oh, it was so awesome. And we did it at same this year. It's the Saturday night, and it was last time as well. So Sunday was awesome for me, because it was just so full of hugs.
Yes.
Of people that were there, they were like, it's such a good time. And there was just so many hugs. So I was like, oh, this is great. It's like a gift that keeps on giving, you know?
The camp the intimacy that they, even as every time it gets a little bigger and more people and this and that, it still keeps that intimate feeling to it. And, you know, everybody reconnects, and it's just so much love, and it's just, it's just such a neat event.
It's a really unique event. You know, I just did another fan convention recently, and it's a very different experience, because they keep you on a very tight schedule. You have a handler, they take you from where you're going to the next place, to the next place, to the next place. And when you don't have something on your schedule, you're backstage in the green room, right? Whereas the camp, we're all just there hanging out, right?
Walking around,
joking around, practical jokes, laughing, being silly, taking photos. So as a fan coming to an event at the camp, it's much more interactive. You get more time with us because we're out there. And it feels like it, because it is, it's a family.
Yes, absolutely.
It feels like a family reunion, and it's so much fun. And it's so inclusive, and it does have a very different feel to it than a regular fan convention. It's very cool. What Casey and Oscar and their little skeleton crew of people, I mean, because it's not a huge crew.
No, it's not.
Put it on. And you're a part of that as well. But, you know, it's incredible what they put on and what they put out there, because it really they really go above and beyond to give us as the actors a great experience, but the fans themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. They never stop moving the entire weekend.
Yes, you get to the end and you're like, whew, how did we get through all that?
Oh, and then on top of it, like money goes to charity.
Just
the cherry on top is that like, we're not all just there having fun and hanging out, whatever. Like there's good that comes of it.
Yeah, they raise enormous
amounts of money.
Yes, it's very, I mean, it's always so impressive, you know, how much they're able to give back and everything. Yeah, so if you want to attend that, it's the Camp Events, and their website just campevents.com, and you can look into the tickets, and it has the general admission prices and things. But then there's also, you know, Carrie and other special events with some of the other actors as well. So you can see the list of who's going to be there and all the events, and it's just such a fun time. So,
and there's some fun like group photo ops and
this time they're doing some real fun photo ops too. And it's a good, it's a very different group this time too. There's several of the actors from like The Mandalorian, and I know there's one from the Boba Fett thing. So that's kind of cool too. We got a whole little Star Wars block there too.
Listen, I'm totally down for that.
I know you are. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Yeah, so there's, yeah. So yeah, be sure to check that out. And if you're able to come and, you know, see Carrie and everything, because she's always so much fun to talk to and just always happy and smiling. And
How you can't but be happy and smiling when you're at the camp. It's just that event. I mean, from the moment that, you know, in May, that was the first time I had done it. And the moment I got out of the car, people were like, oh my God, hi, mama. And like the party started. I was literally had one leg in, one leg out.
Yep.
Like I was like, okay, let's go. It was such a blast. So I'm looking forward to it again.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Are you going to dress up for the costume party?
Oh, shoot. I hadn't even thought about it. Okay, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, you know, because my event's right before that. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's right. How do you, because there's a, I don't know what night you're coming, because I know Friday night there's an 80s party as well. So there's an 80s
ball. Yes, I am not there Friday night, but I will be there Saturday. Yeah. So it's 80s prom though, right? No, that's Friday night. And so
Saturday will be the costume. Yeah, so.
Costume, okay.
I have to think of some quick change costume you can jump into.
Right? Holy smokes. Yeah, because there's not a lot of time. Okay, I'll think about that. I've got a little time.
Yeah, you got a little time. You'll be good. Yeah. So is there anything you have that you can share new with us yet? Or I know you're working on some things, but I didn't know if there's anything that you can share.
Not quite yet.
That's fine.
We're not going to press yet. Yeah. And what we're working on is like something a little bit different.
Oh,
fine. For us, something that Michael and I would work on together. And that's very, very, very cool. But it's in the works.
Yep.
There's a lot of moving parts, but I look forward to being able to talk about it when I can.
Yes.
And we'll be very excited because we're very excited about it. But we gotta wait just
a little longer. Anyway, it's always exciting when you have that, like, you want to tell everybody, but you just can't yet.
it's so good. We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie. I'm so glad you were my first guest. It was comfortable for me since I know you, and it flows very easy. So it made it for a very fun way to kick off my podcast with the.
I love it. Well, this is the first of many, many, many more.
And yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on taking the reins.
Yes. It's just another step. And, you know, I enjoy writing for Undead Walking, and I've done it for about 3.5 years now. And so this is just another, you know, little piece to that. So it's just fun to interact.
What an exciting time to take this on too, because everything's ramping up until the finale, but then you've got all the spinoffs, right? Which are really exciting and really
very
different.
Exciting. Yeah.
From the little bits they've released, they have very different feels to them. And so that'll be really exciting.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Yeah, it's sad, you know, bittersweet, because
it's interesting because it feels like, you know, we had the big show, and then it just feels like it's all kind of splintering off into all these other little shows. So, you know, I think in a way, from the, you know, of course, it's sad from the fans' standpoint of to see the mothership, coming to an end, but it'll continue on in these other you know, spinoffs and probably kind of spread out the year, there'll always be something new.
Exactly. Something, you know, that's the exciting part.
The spinoffs and, you know, it'll be like, oh, that ended, but oh, the new show starts next week.
that's the hope that they can get them out nice and sequentially there for us and just keep us in Walking Dead all year long.
Well, you know, speaking of Star Wars, I feel like they've done that, you know, in terms of their series and stuff. So, you know, you get to sort of explore these other characters and other storylines, and they do kind of fall in line where you're like, oh, that ended. Oh, the new one's done.
Yeah. Okay, so, we have something next. Yeah.
So maybe it's a blessing. It's just, it's still there, but it just looks a little different.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I like to look at it that way. Try to find the positive side.
That's right. We got to find the positive.
And maybe somewhere in one of those worlds, I will get to interrogate Negan at some point.
We're hoping for that. Yeah, somehow. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great night.
Yep. And you too. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. And we will have more guests coming up soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.